please do not turn off. Please do not. Just do not exit the podcast. Just stay in the podcast.
Please listen carefully.
Hi, everybody, and welcome in to the Off the Top of My Head podcast, a podcast just about anything and everything. I find interesting people with interesting topics and record in interesting places, and it's all off the top of my head. So whatever you're doing right now, thank you for bringing me with you. And now, let's get in to today's episode. Hey, everybody, it's so great to hear from my podcast audience. Almost immediately after I posted this episode, I actually got a little bit of feedback because some of what I talk about in this episode is photography slanted. So if you don't know, I am a nature and landscape photographer, and somebody requested to see some of my images. So in the show notes, I am going to put the web address to my photography website so you can check out some of the great national parks that I've been to. As I mentioned in the episode, it's over 18 at this point. So enjoy the website, enjoy taking a look at the images, and again, would appreciate any feedback. But for now, we go on to the episode of planning your visit into our national parks. Hello, everybody, and welcome into this episode of Off the Top of My Head. My name is Bill. Thank you again for downloading this episode. We get into episode number 49, the big 50 coming soon. We have something very special planned for episode 50. Definitely something a little bit different than we've done in the past. So I hope you would download or subscribe to be notified when that episode is released. So it is springtime here, I guess maybe approaching summertime. The unofficial start of the summer was this past week. And many of you or your families may want to begin traveling and taking a vacation, and perhaps you have that planned already. But if you don't, I want to encourage you to go to some places. So I'm going to give my recommendations on visiting America's national parks. Now, some of you, again, may have visited some of these national parks, so you are familiar with them and how to navigate around. But if you have never seen our national parks, or maybe you've only been in one or two of them, I would certainly encourage you to get to more. And these tips are going to be more not on where to go, but what to expect and kind of how to navigate the national parks. There are so many great parks out there. I personally am lucky enough, I've been to 18 of them. And I would say out west, they're far more out west than they are eastern United States. And they are just equally as stunning if you know where to look and you know where to find, read the maps, that sort of thing. So the first tip that I wanted to talk about is don't rush. Do not rush to make a decision on a national park. But then also once you make the decision, don't rush while you're actually there. You really want to take the time and you want to explore the place. And I'll get more to that in a moment, but I would first of all, say don't rush. Your vacation is an opportunity for you to just disconnect from your normal routine. And if you continue to be on the go and on the run, you're not going to do anything good for yourself, for your family. And I would just encourage you to slow down. Second thing I would advise here is to stay or lodge close or in a national park. There is nothing more draining and grueling when you want to visit a spot and your hotel is 40 or 50 miles away from the national park. Now, the lodging may be a little bit more expensive outside the park and definitely a little bit more expensive inside the park, but you know you'll have your amenities close by. They usually build nice villages around with plenty of amenities for you to access. So I would definitely spend the few extra dollars and get some lodging that is either inside the park or just outside the park. And if you do any camping, there should be plenty available, but it depends on what national park you go to. You may have to reserve well ahead of time. So for instance, I know I've been trying to book Big Bend down in Texas, And you have to be at least a year, maybe even a year and a half out for lodging sometimes, depending on what you want. So there's a lot of demand for certain parks. Other ones you can just roll right up and have an opportunity. So, you know, I think doing a little bit of research on the park that you want to visit will be really helpful for you. So again, stay close to the parks. If you can, see more than one park. Now, there's a lot of great parks that are around there and quite large. So Yellowstone, for instance, Yellowstone is one of the largest parks in our national park system. And I believe it's roughly the size of the state of Rhode Island, which is, you think Rhode Island's not that big. Well, once you start driving around, I can tell you it's almost probably about a 2-hour drive in between or longer between major attractions there. So it's a park like Yellowstone. You might want to spend an entire week there, and there's so many different sections to visit. Other ones I would try to group together. So for instance, in the past, we've done Zion and Bryce National Parks. Both of those are out in Utah. They can easily be done in one trip. Even if you had a week, I would recommend maybe a little bit longer to explore, but that can be done. Arches and Canyonlands, that's one that you can do multiple parks in a trip. You also get to see Moab, Utah, which is a pretty cool town. So there's a number of, you know, places where you can kind of piggyback. They even have a trip called the Grand Circle, where you're hitting about 5 or 6 of these national parks and areas, especially out in like the Utah, Arizona, Colorado area. So again, just a nice opportunity to kind of piggyback and visit a few different places. The next thing is to buy an annual pass. Otherwise, you would be paying per visit for the park. Plus, by buying an annual pass, even though it is a little bit more than your 7-day pass, you do have an opportunity to contribute to the national park system, which will assist with any backlog in maintenance and repair that needs to be done. And right now, that is in the hundreds of millions of dollars. There are national parks that are seeing a crush of visitors, Zion National Park being one of them. Visitation in that park has gone up dramatically in the last 5 or 6 years or so. And they were considering limiting and actually asking for reservations just to get into the park. I don't believe they've done that to this point, but they are limiting vehicles in between whatever hours they are. Again, forgive me, I don't have it in front of me, but it's something between 8 and 5 p.m. So you're going to have to take the shuttle around. So all those things are for consideration, and I'll kind of talk to you about that in just a few moments. The next thing I encourage you to do once you're there is to get out and walk. Just get out and walk. Use your 2 feet. You're there in some of the most beautiful scenery, and you don't have to walk that far. You don't have to take a major hike. If you hear about people going for 6, 7, 10 miles, and it's a moderate or strenuous hike, they have hikes that are available for all skill levels. And I just would encourage you to get out and begin taking that hike and just getting out in nature and walking. Obviously, you want to wear sturdy shoes. You want to have appropriate clothing. You want to have sunscreen. You want to have a bug repellent or even bear repellent in some instances if you're visiting Glacier National Park or Yellowstone or some other areas. So again, I encourage you to get out and walk. It's a great opportunity. You'd be surprised how quickly the scenery changes once you're off the beaten path. One that I wrote down, after I wrote it down, I'm like, I kind of sort of didn't want to include it, but I'm going to include it anyway. And I just want to just unpack it a little bit. Visit a national park before the snow falls. So obviously by doing that, you're eliminating the chance to be stuck anywhere or just get into any kind of cold weather or uncomfortable conditions that you're not used to. Obviously, when conditions are fair, it's easy enough to get around. There's plenty of activities going on. Again, the weather is fair. So once it starts snowing, that's when things start changing a little bit. And me being a nature and landscape photographer, when it starts snowing, that's when I leave to go to the national parks. I love the national parks in the snow. And a lot of folks who do nature and landscape photography will I don't want to say avoid, because there are people who do it. So if you are one of those, you know, kudos. But I actually seek out any type of inclement weather, whether it be rain, hail, snow, extreme heat. It doesn't matter. Whatever kind of weather, fog, frost, windy conditions, anything that brings something other than fair blue skies and greenery, I am all for. If you take a look at any of my photography, almost none of it is taken in the middle of the day. It's just not appealing to me. There certainly are some images there that would benefit or speak to a fair conditions, but there's so much more drama when you have some weather conditions there. So I would encourage you, again, to just kind of make your best decision on, you know, what you want to do there as far as the snow is concerned. You do run the risk of, you know, maybe getting stuck or not having the proper vehicle. I know we've rented cars a number of times, and there's been some slippery conditions, but we've never gotten stuck in anything. I think we've been pretty smart in what we were doing there. Next tip is to ensure that you see from multiple vantage points. And this sort of goes along with what I was saying earlier about kind of getting out on your own 2 feet and start walking around. You know, the more you look around, the better it's going to be for you. And to get out to some of these different points, you know, is really going to help diversify your portfolio. If you are Instagramming, or you're just capturing some memories of the trip, or again, maybe you're a hardcore photographer like myself. But it's so great to see these national parks from different vantage points. So I would encourage you to just kind of see them from different areas. Next tip is to watch for wildlife for multiple reasons. One, obviously you want to see wildlife. There are things that are not available in other parts of the country. We don't readily see moose here in the northeastern United States, or mid-Atlantic states, I should say. You know, once you get up into Maine a little bit, you'll see them. But it's an opportunity for you to see some animals that you've never seen before. And I would encourage you to please heed all warnings regarding the animals. Some of them may seem incredibly docile and are used to the human presence, but I can tell you at any time, they can flip on a dime. I've seen somebody approach a sleeping elk one time. They were some teenage kids, and they were just being stupid, to be honest with you. And they approached a sleeping elk, and that elk jumped up and started charging them, and they were running for their lives, literally. I mean, this elk was probably 10 times the size of them. So just, you know, small things like that. And then, you know, these animals, again, they're dangerous. They can charge. You want to make sure you're maintaining a very safe distance and just heed the warnings. Also, I was talking about bear spray earlier. There's a number of ways to deal with different types of bears, so I would encourage you to do your research before you go to whatever respected park that you're looking to do. But again, the national park should provide all that information to you, and you should definitely heed it and take care there. I'd sort of mentioned this earlier, but just want to reiterate it. Be prepared for any car problems. I was mentioned earlier with going in the snow and getting stuck, but you know, even though you have a rental car, does not make you exempt from car problems. So, you know, if you're in Death Valley and your car is overheating, or you're in Arches National Park and you decide to take a side road where there's some sharp rocks that could puncture a tire, it could be any number of things. It could be, you know, a rock fall from the side of a mountain that winds up going into the side of the car. So be prepared for those kind of things. You know, you certainly don't wanted to paralyze your trip, but definitely just be aware that there could be an opportunity for your car to break down or have an issue. We've actually been lucky enough, knock on wood, that we've never had a problem with a vehicle. One time we got a rock chip on a highway that we were at in the Badlands in South Dakota, and the thing definitely made a mark, but then upon looking at the rental agreement, the mark itself on the windshield had to be a certain size in order for us to be liable for any damage. So we're good there. The next thing is you will be out of touch. There is very little to no cell signal. We've tried on so many different occasions to reach family or relatives to maybe even do like a little FaceTime video with the iPhone just to kind of give them an idea of where you're at. And I can tell you that is just a no-go. Like you are out in the middle of nowhere with no cell signal. So anything that you would want, you want to make sure you download ahead of time onto your phone. So maybe you have a map or directions to a specific place. But again, this is an opportunity for you to be disconnected a little bit and to get out in nature. Speaking of getting out, this one's going to be a tough one for me to deliver. Easy one for me to deliver, a tough one for you guys to hear. There is nothing, in my opinion, more beautiful than being out before sunrise at any location that you go to in a national park. There is nobody else around. Very few people will be out and venture into that pre-sunrise or dawn hours. This requires, in some instances, getting up very early in the morning. It could be a 4 a.m., 4:15, 4:30 wake-up call for you then to get ready, hop into the car. You're driving in the dark to get to your destination, which again, if you're staying close, hopefully the drive is within an hour or so. That's what we try to do, is to make the drive within an hour. If you wind up staying way outside the park, you're talking about, you know, potentially a multi-hour trip before you get to where you need to be. But again, I have seen some of the most beautiful sunrises in national parks when I've been out there, and there's a lot of times that I've been out there all by myself. There is nobody else seeing the same thing that I am. There is nobody else in that moment capturing what I am capturing when I'm doing my photography. So it's, again, it's just, if you can do it, definitely get out before sunrise. You know, also hang around probably about an hour or two after and get that golden light, because with that golden light, you're also getting very soft kind of textures and shadows, and you're going to get different to photography and capture different images and have different memories than most people out there who come out in the middle of the day. It's much easier to navigate. There's not a ton of people waiting to get to a certain overlook and people pulling in and pulling out of the overlook. It's just an easier time to function. Plus, if you are looking for any wildlife, they are way more active at sunrise than they are in the middle of the day. So if that's something that you enjoy doing and wildlife is your thing, then being out before sunrise and through the sunrise hours is really helpful. And then to past sunset, everybody loves to see the sunset. And once it hits the horizon, it is amazing to me how many people just disperse and say, okay, I've seen the sunset. I'm gone. You know, I'm out of here. You know, the real magic and the real beauty starts to happen after the sunset, where the clouds begin to start changing colors and the air just feels different. And your surroundings start to change in the color and the light that's cast upon your surroundings. So I would encourage you to stay out past sunset a little bit also. You know, with that said, you know, you're now starting to alter your normal schedule. So you're not going to get up in the morning, have breakfast, and then go out and spend your day. Just like you're not going to have dinner, go see sunset, or vice versa. Have dinner or see sunset, then go have dinner, sort of thing. So you have to alter it a little bit. I know for me, we usually bring a small snack for the morning. So I'm out, you know, while I'm doing my photography in the morning, have a quick snack. And then even at night, sometimes we even forego dinner and just bring some, you know, like meat and cheeses with us, or crackers, just something to sustain us. And we actually use the lunch hours for fueling up and having a sandwich or something, a little bit of a bigger meal. Because again, I'm not out in the middle of the day taking pictures. And I know this whole section, this one little part here, had more of a photography lean to it, but they can easily be applied with, you know, your visit and your family's visit as well. Bring plenty of food and water. There may be times where you're, again, out in the middle of nowhere, and it could be at least a solid 2 hour drive back. Would definitely bring some snacks with you. Bring some Clif bars or some granola bars or trail mix, and then also bring plenty of water. We usually stop at like a Walmart or a Target, and we'll buy a 24 pack of water and easily usually go through that in a week's time at the national parks. It's just an opportunity for us. Again, we need to stay hydrated for health reasons, but then also if you ever get stranded, you at least have some food and you have some water as well. You can always pack that stuff, maybe not necessarily the water, but the Clif bars and all that stuff, you can always pack that and kind of bring that back with you to wherever your home is. Please, whatever you do, please do not litter or deface the park. It is amazing to me how many people will take a graffiti can to an ancient rock structure, or who will just find it completely acceptable to throw trash into a Yellowstone geyser of some sort or hot pool. Just don't do it. It's just not appropriate. Our national parks are so beautiful. Let's please keep them that way and just stay away from the nonsense. That's the end of my rant. Thank you. And one of my final tips here is to look at the National Parks website prior to going to there. On that National Park website, we'll have details about your stay, things to do, things to look out for, what kind of wildlife to expect. But then also, it has information on construction that's happening in the park. And I actually, unfortunately, learned this the hard way, where I never did my full research when we went to Yosemite National Park out in California. And we were staying in the park, but not the main part of the park. It was an area that was a little bit removed. So it was probably about maybe 20 or 30 minute drive in. But there was construction going on this stretch of road in between where we were staying and in between where I wanted to go, the main part of Yosemite Valley. And it was a long wait, sometimes 20 or 30 minutes waits. And the time that it would have taken us to drive in, that we were waiting in construction. So I would encourage you, when you're taking a look at your lodging, take a look and see when they're doing construction. A lot of it is planned. A lot of it is definitely planned. However, some of it is emergency repairs. There could be a rock slide that comes down. There could be a tree that's fallen. There could be flooding that's happening. Any number of those scenarios, because you are out in the national parks, it's a very wild place. Any one of those scenarios could pop up. So again, if you just check the website, they'll also give you details on what trails are closed for the very same reasons. Or maybe there was a bear sighting and something happened to a hiker there, or somebody slipped and fell, or whatever the situation is. They use their discretion and will open or close trails as needed. So, everybody, that is it for my tips. But everybody kind of asked me, "Hey, Bill, what's your favorite national park?" And I'm here to tell you, I really don't have a favorite. I don't know if you were expecting that answer or not. There's still a lot that we haven't been to. Well, let me tell you about a few of them. So, first of all, up in the Northeast in Maine, Acadia National Park, that's been a park that we've been to the most. I believe we've been there 5 times so far. It's a park that's extremely beautiful. It's a park that we've become very comfortable with. The accommodations are appropriate and it's very, very easy to navigate. We like to go up there in the fall, so 5 times I think we've visited Acadia. We've been to the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. I would definitely recommend that as a visit. That is drivable if you're in the northeastern United States, where we are in Pennsylvania here. I have visited the Everglades. Now, the Everglades is absolutely beautiful, but you want to talk about a wild place? That is a wild place. There are alligator there. There are mosquitoes that are the size of airplanes down there. You name it, it's down there. It's a wild place, but it's also very beautiful. We went in the dry season, and looking back, I would have wished we went in the wet season, but maybe we'll get a chance to do that again sometime in the future. Just to name a few, Glacier National Park, I would love the opportunity to go back again in the near future. You know, it's funny. I said earlier I wanted to want bad weather. This weather that we encountered in Glacier was so bad that the photography really wasn't all that great, and our visit wasn't all that great. It was very rainy and windy, snow up in the upper elevations. Like it borderlined on, I don't want to say severe because it wasn't severe, but it definitely wasn't just a normal type visit. So, but Glacier National Park is fantastic. I really enjoyed Yosemite. Yosemite National Park is absolutely beautiful. When you come through tunnel view there the first time to see El Capitan on your left and Bridal Veil Falls to your right, and you see Half Dome off in the distance, you do not even think you are, I can't even describe the feeling that you become overcome with when you see that scene. It is just so, so incredibly beautiful. Death Valley was a very interesting park. I had thought going there, I'm like, well, it's so dry. Like there's nothing there. But when you actually stand there and you start looking around and you start observing a little bit more, there is so much there. Certainly there is dry riverbeds there, but there's also canyons. There are salt flats. There is actually water in Death Valley. There's a high plateau that looks over the entire valley, which, you know, you winds up winding up, and we were actually up there during a storm when it was snowing. So it was absolutely beautiful. And you want to talk about seeing stars and the night sky? Death Valley is one of the darkest places in the entire United States. And I have never seen this many stars before in my life. It was just amazing. So I would encourage you to get to Death Valley. So many other great national parks that are out there. Those are kind of my highlights. Again, Arches and Canyonlands. Arches is just such an interesting park with their arches, obviously. But then Canyonlands, the deep, deep canyons and the interesting features that are there. I mean, I could just go on. And we've been to Olympic National Park, where the coastline is just amazing with haystack type rocks and the Ho rainforest with all the moss, and it's amazing. So anyway, so let this entire episode kind of be some encouragement for you to get out to the national parks, but then also to take some of the tips that I had for your next visit. I do hope you take the opportunity to go this summer, even if you're in the northeastern United States and you take a car ride up to Acadia or down to the Great Smoky Mountains. But even in the future, if you want to visit any of these places, hopefully you pull this podcast out and are able to get some things from it. If you have any questions, feel free to send me an email at ottomhpodcast@gmail.com. That's ottomhpodcast@gmail.com. I always enjoy talking about the national parks and some of the tips and tricks that I've learned along the way. So please don't hesitate to drop me an email, rather. You can also follow the podcast on Instagram at Off the Top of My Head Podcast. Once again, that's on Instagram at the Off the Top of My Head Podcast. Guys, this has been episode 49. Episode 50 is coming up next. So please stay tuned for that. Again, thank you for subscribing. And until we connect again, all my best and bye for now. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Off the Top of My Head Podcast. Who will I interview next? What will the topic be? And where will I record the episode? Please subscribe to be notified when a new episode is posted on your selected listening platform. Off the Top of My Head Podcast, a podcast about anything and everything.